Get on with it. Groet hulle vriendelik vanoggend. Halleluja. Ons hoop en vertrou julle voel regtig waar tuis hierso in die huis van die Here. Regtig waar dat die Heilige Gees in julle harte sal werk. Dat jy nie dieselfde huis toe gaan nie, maar dat jy genuine verander het. Laat daar verandering in jou hart plaasgevind het. Dit wat saak maak, is dit nie? Halleluja. It's good to have you. Thank you for coming. I'm excited to start a new series with you. I don't know about you, but I learned a lot going through the armor of God again with you guys. I trust that it's something that's settled in your mind. Often one of the benefits of doing a series is that they've worked out it like in a day or whatever on the way to a destination, you get some like 3,000 messages of something. So we're continuously bombarded with messages all the time. And people that are in the advertising industry and that do these studies have guesstimated that it takes approximately 19 times to see a product advertised before you make a buying decision to buy it. So imagine that. And then we just get 30 minutes. Dan moet jy kerk toe kom om te luister na 'n ou, jy sukkel om hom te verstaan in die eerste plek. So just trust that the Holy Spirit speaks the message into your heart this morning. Is that okay? Are you ready to receive something from nie a pastoor of a predikant of a dominee of a whatever, but to receive something from the living God this morning. Amen. That you receive it to your heart. So I'm excited to start a new series with you this morning. How many of you have heard of the expression, a chip off the old block? What does it mean? Speak to me. Yeah, you like your dad or somebody you like, or an apple doesn't fall far from the tree. This morning we're going to speak it. That's not the title of the series, but a chip off the old block. And we know that Jesus, amongst other things, is described as the rock of ages. Hallelujah. I'm excited to start this new series with you called Living Stones. Living Stones. And it's going to speak about a not a Mick Jagger. That's the Rolling Stones. Where's my tongue? Yeah. Tony, ek moet my mond so groot oopmaak, nee, om my tong uit te kry, dis net, ja, sekere mense het sekere gawes, daar kon sy mond oopmaak, om tong uit te steek. Livingstone. So, on the overhead there, on your Bibles, on your phones, your tablets, whatever you use, come with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we're going to look at the ESV translation this morning. The English Standard Version says it in a particular way, uses words in a way that I saw fitting for the sermon series this morning. If you there, say, preach it. There you go. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. What a privilege we have, Almighty God, to freely and boldly proclaim, declare, and preach your word to each other and to a dying world. Thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of your Bible, your word, available to us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you take it from being highlighted in the pages of our Bible to being written on our hearts, that we live it out, Lord. And as we get into this series, Lord God, we want to grow, we want to learn, not to become educated, Lord God, or to know a scripture verse or two, but to become the men and women and children of God that you've called us to be. Change our hearts and our lives. Challenge us, chastise us when necessary, Lord God, and encourage us to face the world one day at a time. In Jesus' precious name, and all the people of God said, amen and amen. So it describes us being as living stones. Now, just off the bat, as we start, a living stone is a contradiction. Because a stone is an inanimate object. It can't live. So did the Bible make a mistake? Nothing in the Bible is just there because of whatever. Sometimes I think even the words that are used in certain places, I think God just did it so that the Bible is an interesting book to read. Some of us that don't understand why things are there, for example, have you gone to certain places in the Bible where the genealogies are? This one got this one, and this one got this one, this one got this one. And it's name after name. You think to yourself, what is this all for? Well, for us, you might think, well, it's not necessary. But for people that want to determine the accuracy of the ancestry of Jesus to determine if he is indeed the Messiah, it is critical to make sure that the lineage is there, that it's important. You go to the book of Numbers and you think, what is all those numbers? And they start counting this and counting that, and some are here and some are there. You realize, what's the importance of it all? Well, if you look at how God commanded the Israelites to camp, the numbers, the distribution of the 12 tribes of Egypt, 12 tribes of Israel, over Egypt, Lord help me, the 12 tribes of Egypt, of what did you put in this water? The 12 tribes of Israel. It's in the shape of a cross. You think, so nothing in the Bible is just, it's fun. Every single jot, every single tittle, that means the smallest letter in the Hebrew language, is there for a reason. So see, are we living stones? How can it be? We're going to start looking at it this morning. I'm excited. So when we look at a stone, we're going to look at some elements of a stone this morning. A stone is made of dirt. It's cold. It's hard. It can hurt others. And it's sometimes thrown away. However, when it's looked at with different eyes, it can be something extremely beautiful. And if you go past places where there's dolomite outcrops of rock and marble. I can't remember where it was, but I've been in places where they've mined marble. You see these big chunks. And me, that's not a sculptor. I just drive past it or I ride past it. Whoa! But for a sculptor, he looks at that, what we see, a big lump of dirt, and he sees a beautiful masterpiece. And I can't remember which artisan it was, but they once asked this dude, how is it that out of this big lump of rock you can create something beautiful? If you're sculpting a beautiful, beautiful horse, he says, all I do is I take that big lump of rock and I chip away at everything and I chisel away at everything that does not look like a horse. So it depends on whose eyes you look with. And this morning, you might see yourself through your past mistakes. And you might see yourself as the mess up and the fat argument you had with your wife on the way to church this morning. No moet jy hierso sit en geestelik lyk. And sometimes you think, oh, she's so cute, I just want to eat her up. And sometimes when she's at her worst, you're sorry you didn't. But we all look at each other. We look at ourselves through your failures or whatever. I want to encourage you, my brother, my sister, this morning. Know that there's one who is present this morning. And he looks at you and he sees his masterpiece. Living stones this morning. So let's look at some of those aspects. It's made of dirt. You see, the world wants to hear, are you so special and you're so unique? Yes, in the eyes of God, you are, only when your life is submitted to Him. But we're made of dirt. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. Why would God choose this? I remember, it's coming back to me now, years ago, and Yaku researched it. I said, if I was God, I would have chosen the most expensive material. And I don't mean cloth, ladies. The most expensive, valuable mineral. I would have chosen that. And I can't remember the name. It starts with an E. It's the most valuable stone or mineral in the world today. I would have chosen that. No, God chose to make us from the dust. And when He put us together as earthen vessels, clay jars, cracked pots, it's not to hide treasure on the inside. It's that so that from the outside, the treasure that's on the inside will be visible. What did God see one day? He saw one day, you're going to get to a date and a place and a time in your life where you're going to say yes to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. make you born again, put inside you the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, so that one day something somewhere along the line is going to start a little change in your mind. The old self is going to do one thing this way, and the new born again self is going to say, no, but something about this is not right. Hierdie ding wat ek so aangewoond as in die verlede, wat ek lekker geniet het, die wêreld, die Christene leer het sonde genoem. Vir my, dit was net lekker geweest, dit was a joy, it was doing life. Dit is nou net nie meer so lekker nie, ek wil dit nie meer so doen nie. Something's going to change inside you, and one decision at a time, you make a choice, and you start acting differently. I remember the first time when that started happening with me. My friends, as you can see, I'm quiet, I'm withdrawn, and I'm shy. They said, something's different about Mozi. What is it? What is it? And they started seeing me less and less at all the things we used to do. And I said, guys, I wasn't always like this, but something's happened. Something's happened in my life. I got born again, and Jesus started to change me little bit by little bit. And that's what happens here. We made from dirt. God chose from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. That's not the Holy Spirit. He gave us life. And the man became a living person. So where are we from? From the dust of the ground. And Psalm 51 and verse 5. When did you become a sinner? When you committed your first sin? Well, according to the Bible, well, the Bible says, ja, maar die arme ou kind het nog niks gedoen nie. But it's what we call the Adamic nature, the nature of Adam, where we, if left to ourselves, we will self-destruct. All the parents in the building this morning, raise your hands. Okay, all right? Did you have to teach your children how to be naughty? They just did it. And they were very good at it. And they are very good at it. Why? It's that nature to self-destruct. That's the part of us that needs to be born again. Yeah, Alvin and Bernadine, they're my kostbaar, né? They're cute, eh? And grandparents, you know, the blessing, the kleinkinders kan kom kuier, but you can also send them back. Now go back to your mom and dad. Ons is klaar met julle. Is dit nie so nie? It's like that. When I joke, I don't have the privilege of being a biological father, but as parents, you know, mothers, you know, no matter how old your children get, they will always be your children. And it's like that. Another psalmist says, yeah, David is busy repenting. He realizes, hy droog gemaak met Batsam, né? With Bathsheba. He says, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. First aspect, we're made of dirt. Okay, and where others see dirt, God sees value. I want to say, God sees value in me. Say that, God sees value in me. And parents, listen to what your kids say. If you're a teacher, I hope you don't ever do this. You tell kids, oh, you're never going to amount to anything. You're good for nothing. I've sat under the teaching of teachers that have taught parents and parents of parents, etc. They taught several generations in a school. And they say, oh, just like your father, just like whatever. So be careful what you speak over children's lives. You see a mess. One guy said to me, oh, this teacher said this. And he said, what? When I leave school, I'm going to earn money, more money than she ever did. And guess what? He went and made a success of himself in financial terms, you know. That's subject to interpretation. But where others see dirt, God sees value. He chose to make us from dust. And as dirt, we have to realize we need God's cleansing atonement. We need to be cleansed, okay? And this is only possible through Jesus' sacrifice. That's all. You can't fix it by doing good deeds and by coming to church. You can't change that. You just need to come and say, Here, ek het vergifnis nodig. Red my asseblief van myself en die wyle van die vyand. Help my, Here. That's what we need to do. Come in humility to the Lord. Okay. I want to remind you, there's a Christian artist called David Crowder. Any of his music, get it. It's amazing. He's really used of God in an incredible way. There's a song that he's written called Back to the Garden. Back to the Garden. What's it like in the garden. Very special in the garden. God commanded Adam to look after the garden, to name the animals, name the plants and everything like that. And at that stage, there was no woman. Because if there was woman at the time, they'd still be deciding on the names. God had to give that task to Adam alone. Kreyn het klaar met die werk. And then God saw, hey, it's not good for a man to be alone here. And he sent his helper. But it's about going back to the garden. And the lyrics are, I was born to be royal. I was made to be free. But I was torn from the garden when the devil lied to me. I was formed from the soil. I got dirt inside of me. But I was born to be royal. I was made for glory. Folks, no matter how much you've messed up in your life, there's no stain of sin that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse you from and set you on a new path, a new direction, and a new vision, and a new purpose. And we can embrace our past, not to try and forget it. People take that context out of Scripture where Paul speaks, forgetting the past, trying to deny that it happened. No, embrace the past and say, this is the mess that I was, but this is where Jesus picked me up out of. This is the path he set me on. Now I'm destined for new things because my life is in God's hands. I'm made from the dirt. I got dirt inside of me, but I was born to be royal. I was made for glory. Hallelujah. The second aspect of a stone is that a stone can be cold. A stone can be cold. I remember one time, oftentimes God speaks to me in the shower, and it's like that time I like taking showers. I don't enjoy baths. I like taking a shower, and it's like cold. You know, it's cold, and you're standing in the tiles, and we got a small shower, and I turn the shower head away from me, and put the water on, wait for it to get warm. I'm like, fortunately, I'm a small man, so I can hide in the corner, like, ee. And then I thought, no, man, just embrace the cold, and you step out, and it's like, those few seconds of refreshing. And God gave me a message in there, embrace the cold. So you can embrace the past and embrace the idea that as a stone can be cold. Where does that come from? Who's dit van toepassing op ons volgende? Matthew 24 and verse 12. Guys, this is reality. We see it, man, word of that. You try and you think, oh, what's the purpose? Ach, just leave it, man. Just leave it. What's the purpose of trying to make a positive difference? Matthew 24 and verse 12. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Do we see it? Sin will be rampant everywhere. Some translations say lawlessness will abound. And the love of many will grow cold. It says in some translations, I think it's in New King James, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You think, oh, you know what? This God-forsaken country, look what's happening. The police are not going to do anything. The judges in the court are corrupt. Everybody's corrupt. The prosecutor is corrupt. So, ons gaan maar net voortvoeter vandag. You know? And I noticed this change starting to happen in my life. Years ago, I just got my driver's license. I never dreamed of just going through a red traffic light. I never did that. Today, I look around when there's nobody. I go through the red traffic light. You might think, oh, well, Mozzie, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no other motorists there, whatever. But the fact of the matter is that because lawlessness abounds, you just think, oh, well, just come and do it. And you know what? I've noticed this. And I realized, Mozzie, it's actually a stumbling block. And I was reminded of it this morning. I had a discussion with my spare rib in the car this morning. Because there are certain traffic lights today, just pointless. And what makes it worse is that they weren't there before, but now they are there. Ma hoekom, man? It doesn't make sense. Well, at those times when I stop, all other motorists stop. The times when I go through, guess what? They go through. What's a negative invloed het ek op die mense? Somebody somewhere might be watching and think, yeah, look at this. Lawlessness is abounding. Now, whatever you make of those red traffic lights, that's up to you and the Lord and the people that give you the performance awards. But all I'm trying to say is that the scripture says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And brothers and sisters, one of the only things that makes Christianity unique and our getting together unique, I'm not talking about our system of faith and what we believe in, but is that unconditional love. And if that has gone cold, It's forbade. It's forbade. Because how is the world going to recognize us as Christians? But his sign or pikerk would say, whatever the name of the church is, or the cross. Is that how they're going to recognize us? The Bible says that they're going to know we are his disciples by the love that we have one for another. That's why Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else. Because if we let our love grow cold, and as ons heeltyd blind staar aan die negativiteit en die lawlessness wat daar buite is, nee, voordat ons die dinge uit ons oë uitvee, your heart's grown cold. Dan's it a lot. We can't let that happen. My brother, my sister, don't let that happen. Do things that fans into flame the love of God in your heart over and over and all again. Over and over again. So a stone is cold. And if we let it, the increase in lawlessness will cause our hearts to be loveless and indifferent to the needs of others. We could become insensitive to the love of God. The third point is that a stone is hard. A stone is hard. How many of you have had the displeasure of having to pass a kidney stone? Yeah, it was not a pleasant experience, eh? It's hard. It's hard. A stone is hard. You know? And I think it's like, how many of you have barefoot walked over or stepped on? Wat is fout met hierdie tong vir my volgend? Here, help me. Walking, I'm not as drunk as think of people I have. have you stepped on a Lego block? Eh? But then also, maybe it's not a Lego block. When you're out there, you still be plot of your plas. Or maybe you have a little fur ball that's not just house trained, and you walk and then you stand on that little landmine. Why am I going down there? Lord, help me this morning. A stone is hard. Let's just get back to you. A stone is hard. Ephesians 4 and verse 18. Their minds are full of darkness. Ephesians 4 and verse 18. 10, 5, and 3 more. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. And Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. So a stone can sometimes be hard. Fourth point is, element of a stone, is that a stone sometimes hurts others. Luke 6 and verse 31, do to others as you would like them do to you. You've heard of the expression, hurting people hurt others. Or every bully has a bully. Well, guess what? Healed people heal others. So as a stone, we sometimes can hurt other people. The fifth aspect of a stone is that a stone is often thrown away. When you do not have the eyes of a sculptor, it's good for nothing. You just throw it away. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 in the Message paraphrase. It's a paraphrase, not a translation. It says, to you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, speaking about Jesus, the stone the workman threw out is now the chief foundation stone. Some translations say a cornerstone. A cornerstone is that part of the building where they put the cornerstone that holds the walls together. It's the strong point of the building. And others rejected him and threw him away. But to you who trust in him, he's the chief cornerstone. He's the pillar and strength in your life. And the last of the 6 points for this morning, as we start unpacking this, is that it says they're living stones. My brother, my sister, as long as you are still breathing, you've got a chance. You've got a chance. Sadly, last week, Rissa's son William passed on. Last week, Saturday, Andre and Sonica from the Toppies passed on. Other bikers in Joburg as well, two from the One Club, passed on. Who knows what happens in those last moments? Sometimes you go before you. Je weet nie wat jou getref het nie, and you're gone. Over. Sometimes you get a chance as the last remnant of life is leaving your body. Folks, us here this morning, we've still got a chance. If you take a mirror and you put it under your nostrils while you're breathing and it mists up, you've got a chance. You've got a chance. That's good news. That's good news. We've got time to be able to go to God and say, God, help me. God, help me. The Bible says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So when we say Jesus, it's not a swear word. It's not in vain, you know. We're calling on our Savior. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. As living stones, we've got a chance. As living beings, we're continuously growing. You're always growing. Older. Isn't he, sweetie? Do you know when you start dying? From the moment you're born. From the moment you're born. That's when you start dying. But the good news is that if you're in Christ, though you die, you live forever in Christ. And you know, when do you start your eternal life? One day when you're in heaven? No. You've already started your eternal life. You are an eternally existing being. You're either going to exist forever in the presence of God or you're going to exist away from God based on the choices we make here and now. You're already living your eternal life. Let's make the right decisions and choose to live to the one whose arms are open, who's given us a written invitation that says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy burdened and are heavy laden. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You'll find rest for your souls because my burden is easy and my yoke is light. That's Matthew 11 and 28. But as living stones, we're continuously growing, either more like Jesus or less like Jesus. So I wonder, dear one, where are you this morning? Becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus? And if you've made some decisions this week that are less like Jesus, you're in the right place this morning. Because we're here to be changed and to be challenged by God. Is that okay? God has always wanted us being like His Son. Mense vra vir my, pastoor, wat is die doel in die lewe? Hoekom is ek hierso? Wel, ek gaan vir julle sê hoekom jy hierso is. Romans 8 and verse 29. Are you ready? Hierdie is diep, hoor. I got this after years and years and years of studying for my theological degree. Nee, dis nie daar so in die skrif, dis net daar. What's your purpose? Romans 8 and verse 29. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. That's your purpose. God has chosen you. Say, repeat after me, God has chosen me to be like Jesus. Chosen me to become like His Son so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In closing this morning, I'm going to ask the deep end to come up and lead us in a time of worship again. But as we land this morning, I want to recap as we go quickly through the elements of the stone. It's made of dirt, number one. Number two, it can be cold. Number three, it's hard. Number four, it can hurt others. Number five, it's thrown away. Number six, it's living, continuously growing. So the challenge is, God is calling each one of us to live a lifelong process of molding. Did you get that? Lifelong. A lifelong process of molding and shaping and changing to become like Jesus. The scripture promises that we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. If we've conquered sin, death, and the grave, and after 1,000 years, Satan is taken out of hell and thrown back in again, and the scripture says we're going to look at him and say, what? Is this the one that has plagued the nations? Is this the one that has given us so much grief? Is this it? That's how we're going to look at the devil, the Bible says. Now, once all of that is done, have you wondered, who are we going to reign over? Who and what are we going to rule and reign over? There's going to be a system of leadership. There's going to be a system of governance. I suggest to you that God is an eternal creator. His word is spoken, let there be light. It's still traveling. Science has proven that the universe is still expanding. Hallelujah. So we're still going to be growing and learning as God's going to be molding and shaping us all the time. An eternal process. Let God is calling each one of us to this lifelong process of molding and shaping, changing to become like Jesus. Let's give ourselves over to this process and watch the world change around us. I want to do an altar call this morning. I'd like us all, each one of us, to stand up, please. Everybody, all together this morning. First and foremost, each one of us, if you're at a place in your life where you know there's any aspect of your life, and I wish this morning, well, I'm already standing, so I'm going to be the first one to respond to the altar call that God is placing on our lives this morning. Is that okay? Here's the altar call. If you know that there's some aspect in your life, your heart, your attitude, the way you think, the way you do things, that you know that God needs to change. If you know that there's something about you that doesn't look like Jesus and God is busy chipping away at that and you want God to change that area of your life, please raise your hands. I'm putting both of mine up. I know. You don't have to raise your hands, but just think about it. Okay, that's almost everybody. So, ek gaan net sowel vra die hele gemeente vorentoe stap of net daarso waar jy staan. Father, each hand that has gone up. Ons speel nie speletjies hier so vanoggend, Here. Ons is ernstig. Dis hartsake, dis ewigheidsake wat te sprake is hier so. Here, ons onderworp onsself in die heerskappy van die Heilige Gees vanoggend. God, touch us, change us. Now, as you stand there, my brother, my sister, and you let the spotlight of the Holy Spirit search your life, you know exactly what that thing is. You can say, Lord, it's my covetousness. I'm never satisfied, or I'm always grumpy, or I've got hatred in my heart, or bitterness, or unforgiveness, or something. Whatever it is, name it before the Lord this morning as you pray there and stand and say, God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to change and mention that this morning. Just take a moment or two to pray about that. Thank you, Jesus. Kesto moshite testi papa. Sero to kumri kiti tete. Sebo hoshela ratastu kitos. Kama mama da kurutu. Change us, Lord. Change us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive me of this sin. Lord, I've tried so many times. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I need you to change me, God. Change me, Lord. Set me free from this thing, Lord. Chip that away, which is not like Jesus. Change it, Lord. Change it, Lord. Thank you, God, that you give me victory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable me to live a changed life from this morning. In Jesus' name. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus this morning. You are talking about heaven and you think, Mozzie, you don't know what I've been up to. You don't know what I've gone through. There's no ways I'm going to make it to heaven. My brother, my sister, if you're thinking like that, you're in the perfect place this morning in the right time. If you're not 100% sure in your heart that you're going to spend eternity in heaven when you die, if you're not 100% sure, and I'm not talking about church membership, I'm talking about spending eternity in heaven. If you're not 100% sure, please, please raise your hand. Anybody like that, yeah? Anybody like that, yeah? Thank you. There's hands going up. Bless you. Bless you. You can put those hands down. And as we continue to pray, folks, please continue to pray. This is the most important time of the entire celebration service this morning. You know, folks, when Jesus died on the cross, he could have been crucified in secret, out of the sight of public view, with nobody seeing. He done something very bold, very brave, and very, very public. He publicly allowed himself to be crucified and to be put on display, so to speak. And this morning, this is not about a display or a show or to see who's watching. It's about you taking steps of boldness. If you've raised your hand, you know who you are. I'm going to ask you to please, please, please take that journey from your seat and come to the front. We want to pray with you. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We want to pray with you. Take those few steps. It's not about who thinks what or who says what. It doesn't matter if you've done it, never done it before, or done it several times in your life. I'm asking you, please, 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 come to the front. We'd love to pray for you and affirm what has taken place in your life. As you continue to pray, I'm not going to draw this out. If you're serious with God, you know you are. Please, 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 come to the front. I don't care if you've never done it or done it 16 times. The altar workers, you know how you are. Please come forward and stand behind the folks. We want to pray with you. And wat ons gaan doen vanoggend, we're just going to pray with you to help you understand what has happened in your heart. We're going to give you a little booklet for you to read through. We're not, ons is nie, ons stel nie belang in lidmaatskap in hierdie kerk nie. We don't want you as members of this church unless God wants you here. All we're interested in is that your heart is made right with the Lord. That's all we're interested in this morning. So I'm going to ask ladies with the ladies and a gentleman with a gentleman this morning, and we're going to pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of giving our lives to you. And as we take these steps, Father God, we thank you that this is not a once-off emotional thing. Lord, we're serious about that. We're serious about our commitment to you, Lord God. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you enable us and you empower us to walk the days of our lives hand in hand with you. Here, ons gaan foute maak in die toekoms. We're going to stumble, we're going to fall. But thank you that underneath are the everlasting arms that you gird us up and you keep us, Lord God. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. For the folks that have come up, please accompany your counselor to the chill zone over there. They're just going to pray with you, and they're going to go through a little booklet with you. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Koenraad, jy weet waar die chill room is, nee? If you can just accompany the folks to the chill room, please. Ons beloof, ons gaan nie baie van julle tyd opneem nie. We bless you. For the folks that came this morning, thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you so much. Have an awesome, awesome week. Remember, straight after the service here, inside here is the new membership day. So the folks that have put your names on the list at the back to take a membership of the church, please stay behind as we get on with that. Bless you guys. Thank you. Next week is the family fun day. See you all then. Let there be joy, let there be peace, let there be power, let there be praise, let there be joy.